Live at AsylumFantasySports.com, RFSportsRadio.com, and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network, it's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com or AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
A Twitter feed of note at AsylumFootball.
Yes, indeed. And Rick, here we are. Free agency day. It's free New Year's agency. Day in the NFL.
It is. First question, Rick, why do we care? This never pans out. Very rarely, unlike baseball and hockey, very rarely do these NFL free agents seem to make a big difference. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, I will have to agree probably for the majority of the time, but it changes the whole landscape of football. Whether or not a lot of these guys work out, you know, some of the superstars going to another team and so forth, whether or not they work out or not, the whole complexion of the NFL has changed, you know, hence, you know, the fantasy landscape's changed too.
Oh, yeah, no question about it, and not just at the skill positions. You look at offensive linemen moving around and how that's going to affect various running backs. Huge wide receiver core this year, going to be at this point at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this. No word on where Eric Decker's going, Emmanuel Sanders. We'll get into some of the others here off the top in the headlines, but a lot going on. It's interesting. It's just in the end, it really doesn't make a difference.
We shall see. Just one case in point. I know, banging my microphone around.
That's professional.
Schwartz gone from Kansas City, plus two other offensive linemen. You know, it doesn't really matter if they work out where they're going. A good line has been decimated in Kansas City. Now, that's big news if you're Alex Smith owner, Jamal Charles owner, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no question about it. It's a lot going on there. So we will be monitoring it throughout the show. Anything that pops up while we're on the air, we'll certainly bring it to you. In the next segment, we will bring you the moves that have already been made. Rick, but let's take a look at the headlines. My favorite headline of the week, at the ripe old age of 26, Rick, Rashard Mendenhall has retired.
Yeah, he just did not want to sacrifice his body any longer. That part's fine. And then he has to add it for the sake of entertainment.
Well, is that far off?
Most football players, I think, are, if you would ask them, why are you playing football? I want to win a Lombardi trophy.
That's true. That's very
not,
true.
I want to entertain the people.
I think his point is that it's the league trying to entertain. Let's read his quote rather than try to guess what he's saying. Let's read what he said, if I can read.
We're just kind of bitter anyway because he was such a disappointment.
He was a letdown. A guy had that great rookie year, got drafted top 10 the next year in all fantasy formats and never really recovered from there.
But, no.
But per Mr. Mendenhall, when I came up 3 years ago, when I came
yeah.
up, teammates fought together for wins and got respect for the fight. That sounds pretty good. I like that. The player who gave the ball to the referee after a touchdown was commended. The one who played through injury was tough. The role of the blocking tight end was acknowledged. Running backs who picked up blitzing linebackers showed heart. And the story of the game was told through the tape and not the stats alone. So he's about to take a swipe at you, Rick. Hold on. That was my model of football. Today, game day cameras follow the most popular players on teams. Guys who dance after touchdowns are extolled on Dancing with the Starters, he said, not stars. Apparently he misspoke there. Games are analyzed and brought to fans, I just lost my place, without any use of coaches tape. Practice non-participants are reported throughout the week for predicted fantasy value and success, and failure for skill players is measured solely in stats and fantasy points. So he just took a little cut at you there, Rick, as a fantasy football guy.
You know, he can take cuts all he wants at fantasy football, but, you know, he's saying, well, you know, the cameras only focus on the most popular players. If you weren't such a goofball and a weirdo, I'm sure you wouldn't be, you know, pushing fans away from you.
Well, here's what I'm interested in, Rick. To read that, I would expect you to say something like that. I would expect a player from the 70s to say that.
To say what?
What read about Rashard Mendenhall. Waxing poetic about how the league was in, what, 2009?
Yeah.
What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
he
talks
here?
Like it's eons ago, like it's Bart Starr or somebody
right.
back
you know,
talking.
I would expect that from them. Look, he's a wacky guy. I can't fault the guy. He's been injury-plagued. If he's got enough money, why not walk? Well, he's obviously a weirdo. He wants to
I don't fault him for that.
And hug trees and whatever wacky crap he's into. If you remember, was it last year or the year before, he put out that message, that tweet that people read is pro-Taliban or something or about the war, and he got in all kinds of heat for that. He's that kind of guy. He's a hippie, I guess, for lack of a better term. That's who he is. Here's my takeaway from this. This all seems like a real good idea, and he's obviously a cerebral guy, and football isn't everything. I guarantee you in 2 to 3 years when he runs out of money, football will be a damn good idea again, Rick.
Well, yeah. Excuse me, and it goes to a comment from Jim Struble in the chat room. You know, it sounds better to retire than to admit he wasn't getting any feelers in free agency, too.
Well, that's a pretty darn good point there, actually. Yeah, it's easy to retire when no one's interested in you playing for their team, I suppose.
Well, you won't be playing anyways, so you might as well retire.
Go ahead and retire. But obviously a lot of tread left on those tires. I think I think we see him back. I really do.
Boy, I don't know. He could be one of these kind of guys that, I don't know, he just liable to just disappear. I really believe that.
Yeah, is it a Ricky Williams thing there where he'll go out in the woods and get high for a couple of years and then run out of money and show up again?
The problem is Rashard Mendenhall isn't Ricky Williams.
No, he's not the player Ricky Williams was, I guess, at this point. I can't say is, but a similar situation, a wacky guy thinks he's a little too smart for the game. And look, if you can do it, he came in, he got his money, he's walking away without all this concussion syndrome, and he's not limping away. Can't fault the guy. Maybe it's just my natural bullying instinct that if a guy wants to go think and read stuff and write stuff, that offends my sensibilities.
I'm a little opposite of you when it comes to that. If that's what he wants to do, more power to him. But why do you have to throw these darts on how the game has changed in the last 3 years
in my long tenure in the NFL?
Had
he played 10, 12, 15 years, I will accept this for him.
Yeah, if Jerry Rice said that after 15 years, you can take it.
Yeah, he was in, I'm not comparatively to you anyhow an old man, and he was in diapers when I graduated high school. So don't wax poetic about the good old days of the NFL. You have no idea. I have no idea. It goes back to this time they talk about, goes back to the 70s and 80s. You know, fantasy, started in the late 80s, really took off in the early to mid 90s. So Rashard Mendenhall doesn't know a league where stats weren't paramount.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When he came into the league, fantasy football was probably only a $2.5 billion a year business.
Yeah, when he came in the league, it was pretty popular at that time. I think he was aware of it. So from one running back to another.
Let's put it this way. Okay. Nobody was getting Rashard Mendenhall stats out of the USA Today on Monday morning.
No.
It was all on computer.
Yeah, it wasn't being mailed back and forth, and those frantic phone calls weren't being made, exactly. So the Titans shopping Chris Johnson, Rick. What are your thoughts on that?
I put out an article last week on running backs, and I think he's still got some gas left in the tank, but it you have to monitor where he goes. I think he's going to need a good line to be tap dancing behind before he pops through a hole. Look, his explosiveness wasn't there last year.
No.
He was quick, still pretty fast, but he wasn't CJ2K.
No, and that's what set him apart was that speed, that super speed. He was never great at hitting the hole. It was if he hit the hole, he was gone.
Yeah,
every
exactly.
time. And we talked about it, I believe it was in the preseason last year, when he got caught from behind, and that was sort of telling, and that's the problem. When he hits the open field, he is no longer uncatchable at this point. So,
but
I think he was a great back for a year or two.
Certainly.
He's a good back now.
Like I said, I think he's still a viable fantasy player. He's certainly no RB1. any longer, I don't believe. He's only played 6 years. He still has, you know, some tread left in his tires. But, you know, Tennessee, look, his goal line carries are hawked away with Sean Green. And Sean Green, $3 million a year, is going to start carrying the rock.
Absolutely.
And I think he's proved himself the last couple of years. Very dependable with Tennessee. He's over 1,000 yards with the Jets on a bad team the year before. So I think they're going to save some cap money. Somebody will go after Johnson. I really don't know who. I really haven't heard any rumors anybody interested in.
No, and you wouldn't think, although like, you know, you do think he's going to be gone either way. He's got that big cap hit. One of the first moves made was Tennessee signs Leon Washington. Now that's more of a kick returner move, but he could sort of fill that third down scat back role that Chris Johnson's sort of emerging into. He's a lot better than that, but that's really what his skill set is. And I can see Sean Green being the workhorse there in Tennessee. Chris Johnson's the type of guy, fantasy value and just general success of his career, I think it's going to depend on him going to a good team. He doesn't have the explosiveness anymore to go onto a bad team and make a difference, but as a cog in a good team and a good offense, you can see him have a nice year.
Well, let's play the game of who needs a running back. Cleveland,
and that was the name most mentioned, but then every free agent running back
Miami
comes up, perhaps. They got a glut of below-average running backs there.
Wow, how about Denver?
They're a possibility. Do you trust Monty Ball?
I don't think that they have the cap room, to be honest with you,
no,
since they're letting some of these guys go.
Yeah,
but that's an interesting place.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd definitely fit in there. That's where he could. You know where it would make sense, although, again, they have a glut of running backs there. Isn't he the kind of guy New England signs and resurrects his career, a la Corey Dillon and so many other guys over the years? I wouldn't see them making this move, but
I can't either. Considering some of the tweets and that kind of thing that was out, actually calling him out, calling him a me-first player and so forth, not a real teammate. Not to say New England hasn't brought in plenty of those guys and turned them into producing team players,
absolutely,
at least for a year or two.
Hey, Corey Dillon wasn't known for his altar boy-like characteristics when he rolled into New
England.
Exactly.
Randy Moss.
Yeah, there's another one. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. There's not a lot of teams. Yeah, you look at Oakland, they've got all the cap space in the world. They re-signed McFadden today, so maybe not a fit there. I don't know where he winds up. What I am confident in saying is he is not going to be in Tennessee next year.
Interesting Oakland chose to go the McFadden route and let Rashard Jennings go.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I saw out of Jennings in a short stretch last year. I really did. And McFadden, yeah, we can get
it. We know what you're getting with McFadden.
Right. You're going to get eight games. 8 games, and six of them are going to be real good.
Yep.
You know, mainly in the passing game seems to be where he gets his yardage now. But, yeah, frustrating, I have to think, for Darren McFadden. That kid, we said it over and over and over and over again. If he was healthy, and when he's healthy and rolling, he'd be the best fantasy value, the best fantasy player. He'd be the number one overall fantasy pick each and every year. He's got that kind of talent and that kind of speed. However, just can't stay healthy, just can't get it together.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, we said that about Ryan Matthews, who turned it around last year. I would love to see Darren McFadden just have a healthy year.
Just to see who he really is.
Even if it's Oakland and they're 5-11 or 4-12, whatever it is, I would just like to see him have a healthy year and just see what would happen.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's probably not going to happen. Now, we've said it about Ryan Matthews, but we got a 2 or 3 year more of a sample size with Darren McFadden. Moving on, Steve Smith being shot by the Panthers, Rick. Anything left for Steve Smith? Does he move the needle for you whatsoever? Not to bring up New England again, but there's an interesting fit there.
Yeah, Steve Smith is – I love Steve Smith. Let's put it this way. Fantasy-wise, I'm far less enamored with him than is him as a player. He's a real fire plug. He's a Mr. Attitude, gets under everybody's skin.
He'll punch you in the throat, too.
Right.
I like a guy that'll just punch you in the throat.
Yeah. So I would like to see him land somewhere, but I don't want to see him go to just some rummy team, be relegated to wide receiver 3 and just kind of fade away
somewhere.
And that's it.
And it very well could happen. And in all honesty, yeah, he's been sort of living in obscurity, even as the number one in Carolina, never been a top passing offense. What I find interesting with him, and they come out, the team come out and said this. Why would you say this, Rick? They're shopping him for a trade. However, he will be cut if no deal can be made.
Yeah, so why not just wait till he's cut?
What motivation would you have to give up a draft pick? You know these NFL teams even treat this seventh-round draft pick like it's a gold nugget for whatever reason, regardless of how few of these guys actually work out. What motivation would you ever have to strike a deal and give up anything for Steve Smith?
Oh, well, exactly. Look at San Francisco. Albeit it's a sixth-rounder, but they gave up a sixth-round pick to pick up Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
So why would you come out and say, we're going to cut him anyway?
Yeah.
If you can get even a fifth-round pick for Steve Smith, it's a fifth-round pick.
Right, exactly. So interesting, you know, teams I could see. New England was the first team that popped into my mind with him. I know they've been hot after for 2 years now, Emmanuel Sanders. Probably more long-term gain there, but they could probably use two wide receivers up there in New England. And a veteran guy like Steve Smith, I could see that being a nice fit.
Emmanuel Sanders and Steve Smith go to New England by Danny Amendola.
Yeah.
And then that would still leave.
There's a free agent bust for you right
there.
Yeah,
there's Julian Edelman could still be there.
He's a free agent too.
Oh, that is the guy that I wanted. We were talking before we came on the air. Aaron Dobson coming off a fairly successful rookie season.
Okay.
Why in the world do you wait till now to go for foot surgery?
Did he know before he needed foot surgery?
You would think it would hurt if you needed surgery.
Well, that's true. Maybe
and
he just didn't.
It's not like these guys don't have orthopedic surgeons and doctors that they go to all
that's
the time.
True. Maybe he just didn't want to go to minicamp. Minicamp seems like a bore.
When your second-year guy trying to make a Bill Belichick team, Super Bowl contender, playing for Tom Brady, you would think you'd be a little motivated.
Yeah, he got his money. He's good.
He's not had money.
He got some money.
He
got more
some.
Money than you do.
Well, yeah.
He's
happy. Hazel has more money than I got.
That's true. But nobody knows who Hazel is. So.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of a guy who has lots of money, Rick, Darrelle Revis also looking to be out of Tampa Bay. From last night is on the trading block. They're treating him like a free agent today. I can't find if he got cut or exactly what happened. Darrelle Revis coming off that ACL, sort of a disappointing year last year after being, without question, the best corner in the league for a year or two. Where do you stand on Darrelle Revis?
I put out a tweet today. He's not backing off on commanding top dollar. And in my mind, Revis Island's getting a little smaller. I think it's good money after bad real estate right now. If he's not going to even budge an inch, I mean he was not going to take anything less even to facilitate a trade to a better team or a more desirable situation. I don't tell you what, you know, he has not been all that impressive since leaving the Jets a couple of years, and I just don't think that. He's that sought-after commodity that he should be.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell you what, Rick, we got to take a break. Let's pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back. And we're back. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Rick, talking to Darrelle Revis.
Yeah, we're Fleeger and Briggs, and we are talking to Darrelle Revis, not backing off a top dollar at all to help facilitate a trade from the Bucks. And I'm telling you, I just don't think he's worth a top dollar right now.
Now, yeah, it's risky to pay that, and I wouldn't pay it. And I think he's going to dangle out there long enough to realize he's not going to command top dollar.
If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. I have to look it up to make sure. But I think he's missed 17 games in the last three seasons.
Right. Well, most of it coming in one shot with that ACL.
True.
That's sort of where I was going. Rick, not everyone is Adrian Peterson to come back from that ACL the way he did. It seems to me in years gone by, way, way back in the early Rashard Mendenhall days, that's how far back I'm going to go, it was a guy'd miss an entire year with the ACL, and there was another year recovery. There was another lag year in there. I don't think we know exactly, and that's the risk and why he's not going to get top dollar. I think there is as much opportunity as not. I think it's a 50-50 proposition that Darrell Revis this year is the Darrell Revis we remember. You got that year in between. You get healthy. As a guy, I bring it up all the time, and I hate talking about it and comparing myself to these guys because it's not even close. But you get back from the injury and you got healthy, having had this almost a year ago to the day, had this surgery myself. It then becomes about confidence in it and in cutting. And you sort of saw it with Robert Griffin with the issues last year. But being confident in it, I think there's a 50-50 shot, Rick, this year. And I sound like a weatherman now. But a 50-50 shot, he comes back to the Darrell Revis of old. Somebody might catch themselves a deal this season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue about that. He's still not old. I mean, I'll go there. And he's never been a huge interception guy. He's had like five and six a couple of times with the Jets. Right. And, you know, he had the two last year with the Bucs. He played all 16 games. I was wrong. You're right. He missed 14 a year before. 50 tackles last year in 16 games. But that's him. You know, that's what you say. They're not really throwing against him.
He takes away half the field. That's his job.
Yeah.
Having had the pleasure of watching him live in high school and in college, specifically when he went to Pitt, this is one of the best athletes I've ever seen in person in my life. I don't think it just goes away that fast, especially at that position. He doesn't take the pounding a running back does.
I agree. And he's very smart. He's intelligent.
Yeah, I just don't think he recovered from that injury at the rate in Adrian Peterson, and a lot of guys do. Look at it last year. He got Heath Miller back late. He wasn't himself as a Steeler fan. I look for a big rebound from him this year. I think that extra year makes a difference, and he played on it and played average, I think would be fair to describe what he did last year. This will be the telling year, and I really feel it's just a gut feeling. There's a chance he comes back. Are you ever the Darrell Revis of 2 and 3 years ago? Probably not after going through what he did.
I'm sold.
You're going to buy it. You're buying.
Steelers got rid of Woodley. Let's get Revis signed up now.
God, don't you wish the Steelers would ever do something like that. Just one time. Even if it fails miserably, I'm tired of seeing guys like Jericho Cotchery in free agency. Just once, it would be nice as a fan. I know their way works.
But in Cotchery's defense, he actually has worked out beautifully for what they paid him.
Right, but that's what the Steelers did, beautifully for what they paid him.
Well, yeah, but unlike Levi Brown,
who didn't work out,
tricep during warm-ups, for God's sake.
Never played a down for the Steelers. Well, yeah, that one didn't work out so well. What else we got? Speaking of the Steelers, they cut Lamar Woodley. You just mentioned that. Just sort of what the Steelers do, I think, Rick.
Yeah.
He exhausted his usefulness.
And it's not uncommon. The cap situation, I mean, you look at the Cowboys, DeMarcus Ware.
That's big.
Letting him go. Chicago shopping Julius Peppers.
Yeah, that's the next
He's
story
not going to be
I
a
have.
Bear. So, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to steal all the headlines we can hit on these things, but, you know, it's a business. And this cap room, when you start losing it, you got to get rid of some of this high-dollar stuff. And if they're not working out, look, I think the $9 million bucks for Worlds is better than 13 for Woodley.
Just across the wire, Rick, Julius Peppers was actually just cut by the Bears. I had in my headlines written down they were shopping him. They actually just cut him.
There you go. Julius Peppers is out there.
So there's an interesting. Now, I'm surprised. That almost has to be a cap move. I don't know what the Bears' cap situation is. But what a difference maker Julius Peppers was when he was on the field for the Chicago Bears defense last year. If you look at the splits between games he played and games he didn't, just an absolute game changer. So surprising. He had injury issues, but surprising to see him released.
Yeah. But, how old is Julius Peppers now?
He's
one of those guys that seems like he's been in the league about 25 years.
Yeah, not quite that long.
No, I know he hasn't. That's the thing. He hasn't, but it just seems – I mean, he has been a force ever since he's been in the league. And that's what defines a guy's seeming like he's been around forever. But
You know what? I stand corrected, Rick. The Steelers have made a big free agent signing, a free safety by the name of Mike Mitchell. Tell me everything you know about Mike Mitchell, Rick.
His name is has alliteration in it.
Yeah, all right. So
you know, Mike Mitchell.
Very good.
He is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
That's true. Very good.
All right, moving on then. I don't know who Mike Mitchell even is.
No, never heard of him. So
who is he?
I don't know. Let me click on it here and see. Get Mr. Mitchell's bio. He is his fifth year in the league, came out of Carolina, so free safety. Apparently that tells you the story that I don't think there's much doubt, but Ryan Clark going to be gone as the Steelers. So welcome to Pittsburgh, Mr. Mitchell. Maybe we'll effort him. We'll get him on the show next week, Rick.
Oh, I'm sure he's
in studio.
I think he's calling in right now.
No, I don't think that's him. probably Jersey in the house.
Oh, that'd be good to hear from old Jersey.
I haven't heard from Jersey in a while. I wonder how he's doing. I'd like to hear from him in the off season. So what other moves do we have here? Dante Whitner just signs with Cleveland. That's happening.
Yeah, saw that.
On the air.
No, I told you that before we came on the air.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I wasn't listening. You talk a lot. Going back to what you were talking about, your concerns with Jamal Charles, Brandon Albert signs in Miami, so they're starting to bolster that offensive line. We'll see what comes out of the incognito situation down there, how many of them offensive linemen get run out of. Brandon Albert's a beast at that tackle position. That's going to be a big loss for Kansas City.
It sure is, and they've already lost Schwartz to free agency as well.
Yeah.
So, and there's another one. They've lost three out of four linemen, or five linemen, from last year. And that's a lot of impact right there fantasy-wise when you're talking Jamal Charles and so forth. That's
all right, so you know now already three of his offensive linemen are gone. Does that give you any pause about Jamal Charles going into this year?
Until we get a little farther along, not yet. I may bump him to two behind McCoy.
Really?
But
that makes that difference for you?
Oh, sure it does. I mean, look at the offensive line. You need offensive line for a running back to work. And it doesn't really much matter how good a runner is if he's getting killed.
That's true.
But, you know, I think they're going to be good enough. I can't see him leaving all these guys long if they don't think they have someone to replace them.
Yeah, what is the plan there? You have to wonder what the backup plan is.
But, you know, I mean, I'll be watching Kansas City very closely, that's for sure, just to see if they're drafting, they're making moves, any of that kind of sort of thing. But, Jamal Charles, he's their franchise. I would think they'd do everything they could to make that offensive line good. So, you know, right now, if just a knee-jerk reaction, I'd still have to make, you know, he's going to be top two.
Yeah.
Still, so.
Yeah, I think no question about it. If there's a guy who doesn't need much of an offensive line, it's probably him. You hit on this a little bit last segment, Rick. I think this has big ramifications. Rashard Jennings looking like he's going to the Giants. I don't think it's been officially inked, but I believe he said it on Twitter. And once it hits Twitter, as we all know, it's gospel.
Well, they don't put anything on the internet that's not true.
No, absolutely not. But I believe it was Rashard himself who made this announcement on Twitter, so I'm sure that deal is coming.
Right.
That's telling. Andre Brown, a free agent, looking like he's gone. Yeah. If Peyton Hillis got re-signed, too, I don't think you worry too much about Peyton Hillis. Rashard Jennings could go in and have himself an impact in New York next year.
Yeah, I haven't heard, not that I really trust the guy, but I don't even know if David Wilson is going to be playing this year with that neck injury.
You worry about neck injuries,
and
no question about
Rashard
that.
Rashard Jennings, like you said, in a short stint that we did see, showed us quite a bit in Oakland.
Yeah, no question. For a while there, he was an every-week fantasy player.
Right.
He was right around 100 yards. He was finding the end zone week in and week out. He's a guy, a big guy who can run the ball.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Andre Brown, you know, came off the injury last year. I think they were planning on him being the guy last year, you know.
What's interesting about that, when he came back from the injury, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
He is good. But I like Rashard Jennings a little better. I'm not real sure. You know, the Giants are one of these kind of teams. What do you think about the Giants? You know, Nix is going to be gone.
Yeah, Nix is gone. You know what? It all
Eli
comes down
throwing,
to Eli for me.
Eli throwing 35 picks, or he's going to throw 15 and throw 35 touchdowns.
That
I don't
makes
know.
All the difference. You get good Eli or bad Eli. I don't, and there's no way to predict it. It's scary. You know, you like what Victor Cruz does. I think they'll still be able to run the ball. Don't love that defense, but they're all right. They're fine.
Yeah.
It's all going to come down to Eli Manning. And that NFC East ain't what it used to be. If Eli can go out there and reverse that touchdown to interception number, that's a team that could win a division. It really is.
Well, sure they could. And it seems like a different winner every year. Who'd have thunk Philadelphia would have won it last year? Right. I had Dallas cruising to that division title last year and couldn't get it done another 8-8 year, of course. Washington, just a mess. Washington did sign Andre Roberts. Not that that's any fantasy note.
Why do they keep re-signing Santana Moss all the time? Just re-signed him again.
He's a bad penny. He won't go away. It's Santana. They'll re-sign him in 2024. We'll be doing, re-sign Santana Moss.
Oh, my goodness, Santana Moss. Yeah, he's back. What else? Anything else big out there in free agency news? You know, not really. I'll be curious, Rick, to see. What do you think? Darren Sproles got cut. I'll be curious to see where he ends up and what role he fills. You wonder, boy, what a perfect marriage when he went to New Orleans, the way they wait.
For a year.
Right.
And then everybody expected this huge output last year. 75 catches minimum. Heard many of people talking. 75 catches minimum with him, you know.
He's a third-round fantasy pick based purely on that in PPR formats.
Yeah, that's true. Just reading the chat room. Oh. Sorry. We talk about Santana Moss being the bad penny, and we have the he's like a booger you can't flick off your finger.
another apt analogy, certainly, yes. But you wonder if Darren Sproles ends up in the right spot, can he do what he did in 2012, I guess
no.
it was? No.
Because you're not going to be in New Orleans with that kind of... No,
that's what I want.
Unless maybe it's Denver.
Well, there again. Yeah, that'd be a nice fit.
Unless maybe it's Denver. But there's no other system.
One for a guy named Shady McCoy, how cool would he be in Philadelphia's offense?
Well, yeah, but you have to realistically look at that. You got McCoy, you got Charles, and you have the Eddie Lacy's of the world. These high-powered offenses don't need him.
No, certainly not.
Denver is the only one really out there of high octane that may need a running back.
Yeah, interesting. I haven't seen him linked to anybody at this point, I don't think. He's
Now, I hear Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be free agent this year. Don't know what's going on as far as Jags talks with him.
Yeah, no mention of him whatsoever. No mention of Eric Decker, Sanders. A lot of the big ones haven't moved yet.
Right.
Too bad we don't do this show on Fridays, probably, when you'll really start seeing things breaking down.
Well, of course, we do have a Thursday show.
Well,
it'll be much more up to date.
Yes, no question about it. You listen in live on Thursday, and we'll have all the most up-to-date information. So, Rick, let's swing away from football just for the last 5 minutes of this section. Goodness. I'm really bad at this.
This is a section of the show. That's fine.
That's true.
You don't have
to
jumble and mumble around. Just flow with it.
I think it's segment, though.
Well, yeah, it's
for
segment.
For our English-speaking friends. A scary incident in hockey last night, if you're a fan of the NHL. Rich Peverly of the Dallas Stars collapses on the bench, has what they referred to as a cardiac event. Appears to be all right now, but boy, if you watch that video, that was some scary video.
It was. I was watching that, and the announcers, there's something happening, blah, blah, and, I mean, guys were just pounding their sticks and screaming and hollering, trying to get some attention, medical attention, and all of a sudden it just... They cleared the puck, and, I mean, you know, Stars and Blue Jackets both just going over what's going on. You
right.
know, they didn't know what would happen. And, it was scary.
Here's how you know how serious it was. Immediately, they postponed the game.
Yeah.
That tells you they weren't convinced everything was going to be all right. For a professional sports team and league, and especially the NHL and hockey, to shut down a game early in the first period for an incident like that, that tells you how serious that really was.
No, there's no question about that. I mean, that was, you know, cardiac event. Cardiac means it's serious.
Right.
You know, you're dealing with your heart.
And he had missed some time at the beginning of the season with an irregular heartbeat. There's stories emerging now that he'd missed a game in the last couple of weeks for similar symptoms. So the kid's clearly got something going on there, and it's scary. I'll tell you another way you know it's serious. What scared me the most about watching that video, They didn't back the ambulance up the tunnel. They didn't pull a stretcher across.
No.
They snatched him up where he was and ran him back. That you know, no stretcher, none of that nonsense. They picked him up and just ran him back the tunnel. That really told you something serious was up. Awake now, conscious, seems to be doing all right. Of course, when he woke up, I guess they had him awake at some point before he left the arena. First question was, is can he get back in the game?
Yeah.
So that's what I like about hockey player. That's a hockey player for you right there. But, boy, just a real, real scary incident.
Yeah, it was. It's just goes to show you. It comes back to, these guys are people and things happen. And it's just terrible to see young men like that. I mean, irregular heartbeat was the issue before.
It says AFib condition. I don't know what the heck AFib means, but you hear it on all the commercials for all the drugs, so it ain't good.
Right, exactly. So I'm sure that I don't think he'll be playing anytime soon, I can't imagine.
Well, according to this, he'll be out 3 weeks and should be available close to the that was the incident back in the preseason when that happened. I got a little ahead of myself there.
Well, we'll just have to monitor that, and that was just scary to see. I don't like seeing
only
that kind
31
of 31
years old dealing with a heart issue. You don't like to see that. You wonder, you know, what this means for his career. I don't think there's been any real new news come out this week in terms of he's going to need any type of surgery or anything. If that's something, he had a procedure in the preseason that he missed those 3 weeks for,
right,
and supposedly to correct this.
Yeah, being
apparently
Penguins fans,
work.
We know exactly what they're going through.
Yeah, Chris Letang,
right,
early to mid-20s having a stroke. That's scary.
That is, and that was a result of having a small, tiny hole in his heart as a child, when basically a birth defect where 99.9% of the time that little hole heals up.
Yeah, and it just didn't.
It just never did.
And you wonder if you see him back and when. Yeah, you hear stroke, that's scary. Obviously, it wasn't a severe stroke. You know, we didn't have any paralysis or anything, but you wonder how he comes back.
Yeah, you talk about cardiac as being serious. Stroke affects the brain.
Right.
I think that's just as serious.
Yeah, no question about it. And you worry about these cardiac events. You hate seeing it in these young guys. You think about, what was the guy's name? Played for Loyola years and years. Hank Gathers died on the court. You know, I actually had a cousin I was fairly close with, died of a heart attack at 26. It happens. It's rare, but it does happen. It's scary when you see this happen, especially these athletes. You know, the physical conditioning these guys are in tells you, I think you're predisposed to a lot of this stuff. It ain't always what you do to yourself. Yeah, no, there probably isn't too many guys around, too many cats in better shape than Rich Peverly right now.
Right, exactly.
See that going on.
Yeah, this isn't the era of Babe Ruth where, you know, training is drinking beer and eating hot dogs.
Yeah, smoking cigars in the dugout between innings. Yeah,
right.
That's how I like my athletes.
Did you ever see that show? And I can't even remember what it was called. It was on, I think it was on a science channel or something.
I don't watch that nerd stuff.
And they were taking old films of Babe Ruth and, you know, computer enhancing them and looking at his wrist action. I mean, you know, you look at this guy, he looked no more like a ball player than fly to the moon, really. But it was, I think he swung a 44-ounce bat.
Yeah, something like that. A tree trunk is what he was swinging.
And they were computer enhancing, you know, and studying, and they said it wouldn't matter if he played today, if he played 1900, he'd be killing that ball.
Oh,
it was
no
just
question
you know
that.
It was just in the day, the designated hitter, how many home runs would he have?
Could you imagine? Because he didn't have to drag his fat rear end out in the field and wear himself out. He'd sit on the bench and drink beer and then get up every two or three innings and crank one 520 and go sit back down.
He'd have like 1,260 home runs.
Easily. It's 75 home runs a year and never sees the field. I wish there was more athletes like that. There's your argument for the designated hitter right there.
Yeah.
For every fat slob out there in your beer league softball, he might just be able, if he could hit a curveball, he might be able to make it in the bigs as long as the designated hitter still exists.
Exactly.
Well, on that note, Rick, we need to take a break.
All right.
We'll be right back. And And we're back live on AsylumFantasySports.com and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Rick, it's March, in case you haven't noticed, if you haven't turned that calendar over. It's March, my favorite month of the year as a college hoops fan. So as we did last year, we started with the first one. We intend to do it again. We will play the fantasy football March Madness bracket. Getting it together, here's what I had to do. The selection committee is very, very secretive.
It's like the Masons
in the 1600s, you know right. what I mean? You don't know what's going on in there.
Yeah, the Knights Templar.
Yeah. I happened to be in the bathroom when a couple of guys from the selection committee were in there. They didn't know I was in there. So I overheard the top four
seeds. You mean
seeds.
The stench didn't tip them
no,
off?
No, I was just in there hanging out. I didn't actually have to go. I was just taking a nap in there. And so for whatever reason, right out in front of God and everybody in the bathroom, they revealed to each other and unbeknownst to them, to me, the top four seeds in each region. Now, as you know, next Tuesday, Rick, the entire bracket will be revealed.
Right.
But I have ahead of time a little spoiler and some interesting picks, the top four seeds in each region. I thought maybe we'd discuss them and see what you thought.
Well, yeah, I would like to give my four number ones see if we're even close to the selection committee.
Well, let's start with that. You give your four, and let's see if they agree. The ones, maybe the fourth one will be arguable. I think the top three aren't. But it gets interesting after that.
I'm going to go, obviously, Jamal Charles.
Yeah, he's the top overall seed.
I'm going to have to go Shady McCoy.
Number two seed. So far, you and the committee agree. You're in the Illuminati.
Okay, let me think here. It's, you know, we talked about some of the little misgivings, maybe of the mileage of Adrian Peterson. Of course, now we're in the era of the large wide receiver. Let's not forget who won all the championships last year in Peyton Manning. I'm going to go Peyton Manning.
He is not a number one seed.
Okay, well, it doesn't surprise me, but based on last year, I could see where he might have gotten
it. You can make an argument for him.
Okay, I'm going Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he's the third one.
Okay.
There's one more. Fourth
Calvin Johnson.
One. Calvin Johnson was the fourth number one seed. So coming out of the East, Rick, we have Jamal Charles, the South, Shady McCoy, the Midwest, Adrian Peterson, and the West, Calvin Johnson. He has to make the trip across country as the fourth number one seed. Care to guess the two seeds?
Hate to reveal too much, but Josh Gordon.
No, didn't make it as a two seed.
Wow.
A surprise to me. I thought he'd have been a two seed. I'd have put him in at a two
Peyton
seed.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is the last number two seed.
Okay. A.J. Green.
No.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yes, the top number two seed. He was fighting it out with Calvin Johnson for that. There was a very heated argument in the men's room about should it be Marshawn Lynch or Calvin Johnson out in the West as the number one seed.
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Okay. Matt Forte.
Matt Forte, the second number two seed.
So I've got three of the number twos.
Yes, you're missing one, and he's a bit of a surprise. As a number two seed.
It's not Gordon. It's not Green. Who am I missing? We've already got Calvin.
I'll give you a hint. It's a running back.
It is a running back. No, not Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy made a number two seed. Eddie Lacy, the third number two seed.
I'm going to have to make some phone calls to the selection committee.
Don't tell them you heard it from me.
Oh, I'll wait till it's released.
I won't be allowed to use the executive washroom ever again if they know I'm revealing it. Luckily, they don't listen to this show.
Well, they're not allowed to because they get outside information.
Right.
It's all internal.
Absolutely. So I think he's probably the first surprise you have there. Now, we both know ourselves and the selection committee values the running back position after any other. So, or ahead of any other, I should say.
Right.
So you got Charles, McCoy, Peterson, Lynch, and Forte. You're not going to make any argument about that.
Right.
All right, Rick, name the six running back. Who are you going to put ahead of them?
Well,
it's weird. And wait till we get to the four
line. Mean, I agree Eddie Lacy could be number six easily. I mean, that's not – my only issue is I'm not sure he's going to be outscoring – A.J. Green, Josh Gordon, Maybe even Brandon Marshall at this point.
But it's so as we've always said, when you talk about the running back position, you're not necessarily trying to outscore all other positions. You're trying to outscore other running backs and have that consistency.
That's true. And let's face it, you know, we can't make the argument that Wichita State's schedule hasn't been as strong as others. They're 33-0.
Right. You won 33. They put 33 dummies ahead of you, and you walked out with
over
33.
I'll take it.
All right, well, let's go across the three line, Rick, and see if there's any of these guys you think should replace anybody in the top two. Josh Gordon, finally he comes up. Jimmy Graham, a nickname you haven't mentioned yet, comes in at a 3 seed.
Still a little unsettled by Jimmy Graham.
I don't like his situation. In fact, I think he's probably a number 2 seed if his situation in New Orleans wasn't so hostile, for lack of a better term.
That's true. And I just don't look for this to be resolved anytime soon.
No, I don't think. They franchise tagged him, if I'm not mistaken. He's
as
not
a tight
happy
end.
About it. Can he play through it? Yeah, we'll see. I assume there's been a grievance filed within union, and we'll see how that all shakes out. I think we know how it shakes out. He's going to get paid like a tight end this year.
Well, the problem is, we talked about this in last week's show, it breeds animosity.
That's what you worry about.
Of course you do. And I don't. You brought up the point, and I agree. It doesn't put me past him to mail in a season.
I don't
to say it.
I don't know him. I just get that vibe looking at him, listening to him talk. He just seems like a surly guy. He's got enough talent that I think he could punt a season and still get himself top dollar somewhere else. He's that much of a talent. Yeah, I wouldn't be stunned. So we got Jimmy Graham. Then we go to Demaryius Thomas is a 3 seed. We finish up with 2 wide receivers, Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant. How are you feeling on the 3 seed?
I like it. I mean, I think Josh Gordon, in my mind, could be a 2 seed. But
swap him out for Lacy. Is that the name?
Yeah. But, you know, you put one as a low-end 2 and a high-end 3, whatever, it's fine. You can still win, so... No, I have no problem with any of them.
All right, and then going across the four line, this is where there was a lot of consternation amongst the two gentlemen in the men's room.
Yeah, I just brought a little point in the chat room I just wanted to bring up, talking about Jimmy Graham.
Yes.
You notice Drew Brees isn't restructuring the contract to give any cap relief at all.
Well, he just signed that deal, though.
I know. Ben did the same thing in Pittsburgh.
Well, that's true.
And
that's what these top quarterbacks do.
That's what they seem to do. So I don't know. I'm not sure Jimmy Graham's even going to be a Saint. I said last week or the week before, they're not going to let him go, but I can see this thing coming to a head, and it's
perhaps,
I don't know. I got a feeling, he's going to be a Saint, but I don't know if he's going to be a happy Saint.
No, and it becomes a matter, and we're not going to know this, and this is going to be the danger in either seeding him as a number 3, or when we get to August and you start drafting your fantasy squad, that's going to be the danger of drafting him. He's going to be unhappy. There's no question about it.
Right.
Does he play through it? We don't know that. You don't know. I don't think you've seen his character tested yet. This is going to be his first character test. I think we know, as you look around the league, you look at some guys, throw out a name here. Matt Forte is a perfect example. He went through this. He was unhappy.
Yeah.
Had the best year of his career last year. He 2 years ago, he was griping about getting overworked and underpaid, and he fought through it and he played through it. You're not going to know when and if you draft Jimmy Graham late first, early second round, which is where he's going to go in your fantasy league. You're not going to know what his character's like.
Difference is about Jimmy Graham and Matt Forte. Matt Forte was proving the point that he was an elite running back.
Right.
Okay. The Saints have already acknowledged you're an elite tight end, and he's going, hey, wait a minute, time out.
Well,
I need wide receiver money. Why don't you fork over a little bit? They're not going to.
Yeah.
They have no cap money.
No.
They have nothing.
Well, you look at the guys they're losing at this point.
Right.
And that's true. And so I guess he has. He's gotten the acknowledgement that he's the best tight end in the game. Now that's not enough for him. Now, again, I don't disagree necessarily.
No, I'm not bashing him as well.
He deserves wide receiver money. But to your point, he ain't going to get it in New Orleans.
No, I don't. If
he doesn't hit the open market, he's not going to get that. New Orleans has no, unless you're afraid of him tanking, New Orleans has no benefit to doing that, to giving him that money, unless you were going to give him the long-term deal. And to your point, they don't got the cash to do it.
And looking at some of the teams out there, obviously New England's out of the picture, you know, as far as what systems are going to throw wide receiver money at Jimmy Graham?
I think if you've got the cap space and you can get Jimmy Graham, your system will start to fit Jimmy Graham. There's teams that don't use the tight end as often, but if you got Jimmy Graham, you would. Not everybody got Jimmy Graham.
I understand that. But I'm throwing this out at name a team.
I don't know.
And you can name teams with cap money, Cleveland, Oakland, Detroit. Detroit's maybe a different story there. That'd be awesome.
Be a good fit right there, actually.
But in Oakland, a Cleveland, they could throw boatloads of money at him. I don't know if he's going to be anything special. Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback. Oakland really doesn't.
No.
And if he's playing like a wide receiver, you still need a quarterback.
So do you give at least partial credit to Jimmy Graham's success to Drew Brees then?
Because
I tend to feel he's such a different breed of tight end.
I agree with that. We've
succeed
said that.
Anywhere.
No, I think he is probably – well, I always said Heath Miller is the best tight end in football.
Well, when you factor in blocking, I tend to agree with you.
But as far as the most uncoverable guy in the league, you were talking tight ends. I mean, yeah, Jimmy Graham, he's – elite. He is head and shoulders above everybody. However, not every system is New Orleans.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, you can go to Washington. It's just not going to work as well.
I guess you'd find out in that, is he coverable? He's not being covered because they're sending four other guys 40 yards downfield on every play.
Right.
Is he coverable? He hasn't been there, but he's still getting covered by safeties and by linebackers.
Hey, you know, case in point, Vernon Davis. Hey, he's a freak of nature.
That's true. But in that San Francisco offense, it hasn't always been.
Right.
He has games like that, but you're right. Jimmy Graham does it week in, week out. If he goes elsewhere, does he become Vernon Davis?
A lot of it is. I mean, not taking anything away from Jimmy Graham's talent and anything of that, it's still Sean Payton system. It's Drew Brees, his quarterback, recognizing defenses, knowing where guys are at all times. Not every team's like that.
That's true. I can't make an argument against it. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and see what it does to his
fantasy
draft.
And it goes to your
draft.
Point. Free agency, you know, oh, Jimmy Graham's going there. Wow, he's going to make a difference there. And then quietly nothing happens. Well, or whoever, some free agent has done that before.
And as we know, in the NFL, it's usually more about the system than it is about the individuals emerge from the system. But an individual has to fit into the system. So if we only got a minute left, I'm just going to read across that four line real quick. Is there anybody you have an issue with? DeMarco Murray, A.J. Green, Drew Brees, the aforementioned, and Le'Veon Bell sneaks in as the last four seed.
Name them again.
DeMarco Murray.
Okay.
A.J. Green, Drew Brees, Le'Veon Bell. Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers. There could be a debate there.
Yeah,
but
maybe a little bit there.
I'm sure Aaron will be a 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot. I can't really kick too much about it.
Le'Veon Bell, you wonder if he won't be overdrafted this year. Or will he be underdrafted? I like what I saw out of him. But he's doing a lot rushing the ball.
As I mentioned in my article, you can find it on our silentfantasysports.com. I have him slated as mid to high-end RB2. I think he's going to be a very good running back fantasy-wise, but I just don't think he's...
In PPR formats, I think he has more value. Haley started to work him into that role, and that's where he was 100 total yards and a touchdown week in and week out last year. Never 100 rushing yards, but good for 100 total yards. They worked him into the offense, which I liked seeing.
Yeah, I like Le'Veon Bell going forward. I don't think I'm on the assumption, to be honest with you, I think Pittsburgh is on the verge of scoring a boatload of points.
No, I think they got the handcuffs off Ben.
I think they are, and you know what?
Antonio Brown's a guy.
He's comfortable
going to be
in Haley's offense, and you know what? Haley does like to use running back.
Right. Absolutely.
He really does, and a lot of people were jumping on Haley early on, but I think it was just a getting used to each other's system, and I think it's there. I think they could be a offensive juggernaut this year, If that offensive line, which is very young and very talented, started to gel a little bit last year towards the end, they stay healthy, they could be
really potent. That's going to be the big thing for them, is that offensive line. All right, Rick, well, we are completely out of time. Boy, this show flew by. Thanks again for checking out the show. We'll be back listening Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio for the bonus hour, the not-so-live bonus hour. But until then, we'll also be back live next Tuesday, 8 o'clock, with the Asylum Fantasy
and
Sports
Show. And hopefully
with
some additional announcements.
Yes, no doubt about it. Big things going on, a lot of behind the scenes going on here at the Asylum. So thanks again. Check out the Armed Forces Radio Network, armedforcesradio.co, asylumfantasysports.com, at Asylum Football on Twitter. We'll see you.
Take care.